Good morning, we're gonna get started. Morning.
I'm gonna have to walk over and get a note.
You got a few reminders in your our pared down bulletin this week.
It's the same size, there's no front.
Same back. It's all the same information, just slightly less paper. And less pretty pictures. Yeah, so you'll see in there our Sunday school offering for this month is going to be for the Camp Scholarship Fund for Bethany Camp to send campers to that. Check your schedules. We have nursery cleaning, and now we have mowing schedules now that summer's upon us. We will be adding Don to our preaching rotation. He'll be taking the month of July. And reminders of prayer meeting as usual. If you'll see in there, there's a Bethany Camp work retreat instead of their man-to-man weekend. That's going on June 6th and 7th, so that would be this coming weekend. There's still a gathering at the Collins Manor scheduled for the 13th. You have Father's Day coming up, so you still have some time to get those gifts or make a nice card for your dad. Last day of school is coming up for our local public school kids. I know several of the homeschoolers have already finished some of their last day. But, yep. You had an announcement by Bible study you wanted to share, right?
Yes. Bible study at the Mazes usually ends the first Sunday in June, and this is the first Sunday. But the Bible study isn't going to end. It's just not going to be at the Mazes. It's going to be here at the church on Tuesday nights at 6:30. So if driving to the Mazes was too far to go, it's not very far away now. It's closer. So you're welcome to come to the Bible study. We have a good group still that we're going to be coming, and we'd be glad to have you. We're in 1 Samuel right now, so it's an interesting study that we're doing. And you're welcome to come to that Tuesday night, 6:30.
You'll notice we have, Sayla's not here, so we have no pianist. Josh is not here, so we have no guitarist. So please sing loudly, because we will be a cappella today.
Yep.
Number 386 in the old book, Revive Us Again. Revive us, we praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for thy Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Morning, our message will come from Matthew chapter 5, 6 through 9. I wanted to read Psalm 16 for the scripture reading. It relates to the blessings that we have in our relationship with the Lord, and so it goes along with the Beatitudes quite well in Matthew. Psalm 16, the whole chapter, it's just 11 verses. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful ones see decay. You will make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. It's interesting, when I studied this out and reworked the passage, the last verse actually says, you have made known to me the path of the living. Think about that. You have made known to me the path of the living. Everyone else who doesn't know the Lord are spiritually dead. Coming to know the Lord puts you in the land of the living, and he'll fill you with joy in his presence. Okay. Number 371. We're going to sing the first, second, and fifth verse, Grace Tis a Charming Sound. It's 371 in the old books or on the screen. Oh, I need a note. Grace tis a charming sound, harmonious to the ear. Heaven with the echo shall resound, and all the earth shall hear. Saved by grace alone, this is all my plea. Jesus died for all mankind, and Jesus died for me. 'Twas grace that wrote my name in life's eternal book. 'Twas grace that gave me to the Lamb who all my sorrows took. Saved by grace alone, this is all my plea. Jesus died for all mankind, and Jesus died for me. Oh, let thy grace inspire my soul with strength divine. May all my powers to thee aspire, and all my days be thine. Saved by grace alone, this is all my plea. Jesus died for all mankind, and Jesus died for me.
Good morning. Any praise or prayer requests today? Yes, sir. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
I just want to say that I'm thankful to God for Easter. Thankful that he brought me through a very difficult time so far. We all know that we live and we die, and I got news the other day that timeline's not as fuzzy as it once was. It's more clearly defined. So I just want to thank God for giving me all the support of family and friends that he has. Church body, Tom, has been up to Buffalo several times this season. So I'm thankful for all of that.
Anyone else?
I'd like to thank the Lord for all the attention and care they've given the wife and I in the past few weeks. Great to have a church family behind us.
Anyone else?
Yes, I'm thankful that I've got grass to mow and no snow to plow.
It's nice though that the snow melts on its own. You don't have to.
It's true.
The grass just keeps growing no matter what. Always have to get a little hot summer.
Anybody else?
They said that normally that's about 14.
Yes, sir.
I just, in all these things, I guess this morning I went down to my garden, which is not planted yet, I'm hoping. I read a little daily devotion when I was done taking some of the weeds out of the beds. And it basically was saying how we should, how we basically get tunnel vision. Part of the reading was to open our eyes. And as I looked around, my garden was not mowed, and it was a grassy area, the weeds. But it's kind of unique, intermixed with all those things, that all the flowers, different colors, different blooms and stuff. So we just got to open our eyes to see, as much as the thorns of life are here, there's a lot of good in weeds sometimes.
Anyone else? Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, we want to pray for anyone not here and here dealing with sickness. Please comfort them and look after them. Help us to turn to you in times of joy, heartache, sickness, and all things. Give thanks and for comfort. We want to pray for Dawn. For what she's going through right now, she just asked for prayers for her. Please help her to find comfort in you. We want to give thanks as a church family for bringing the Strine family to us and for providing us to them while they're going through this difficult time. Please help us to stand by them and have you stand by them and lead us to them. Thank you for the family that God has provided for the Woolitz as well. We've been there to support them and to comfort them. Please continue to put us in front of them as well. Thank you for the weather you're providing this week, whether it be rain, sun, snow. Everything is done by you and in your time and your power, and we give thanks for that. We want to continue to pray for Ashley's brother as well. Keep his family comforted, and stand by them as well. If we can, please put us in front of them also. Help us to also keep eyes on the positive things going around us with all the negatives that are in the world that are happening. Please help us to, like I said in opening, look to you in times of joy and sadness, for they're both provided by you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Okay, we're going to do our choruses now. I got to move this. Let's stand and sing our choruses together, our worship songs. First one's going to be all a cappella, so you got to sing loud, no guitar. First one's going to be Who You Say I Am.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the Son sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me, his grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes I am.
chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am who you say I am. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Okay, his next song will be His Mercy Is More. What love could remember no wrongs we have done? Omniscient, all-knowing, He counts not the sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. What patience would wait as we constantly roam? What Father so tender is calling us home? He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many, mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. What riches of kindness He lavished on us. His blood was the payment, His life was the cost. He stood neath a debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. If you want the notes of the next song, it's in the new hymnal, hymn number 201. There is a Redeemer, 201. Guess I'll start this one up. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, O my Father,
for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, all sinners slain. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. When I stand in glory, I will see his face. There I'll serve my King forever in that holy place. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Good singing. You may be seated. Sometime I think they ought to learn one of those songs like that Jewish song that keeps picking up speed. So I can see if you can keep up with it with your hands. The last song speaks of some of what we talk about here today in talking about us seeing God. It's in this passage of Scripture. So as we work through this passage, I have an intro that will kind of pull everything together up till today, and then we'll start the message. Let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Father, you are an amazing God. We're thankful for your goodness and your love. We're thankful for the joy you give us, for the peace you give us in knowing you. We're thankful that we know you walk through everything with us, that you are the one who keeps us from fearing even death, because we know that in the next step we will be in your presence. Thank you for this day to study your word, to sing praises to you, to enjoy our relationship with you and our fellowship with others as we lift up praise to you and hear your word. Teach us today. Let us not go home without having grown or been challenged. And we'll praise you in your Son's precious name. Amen. We're in Matthew 5, in case you want to get to the right place, verses 6 through 9. The call from God was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You heard Greg talk about that. That's where this starts from, and that's what all of this discussion is about, repenting. Repent, meaning to turn around. Christ announces the good news of the kingdom of God and goes about healing all types of diseases, physical problems, even craziness and demon possession. In fact, he is near the border of Syria and they bring all their sick, everyone, and Jesus heals them all. Can you imagine that picture? Of all the sick in a country coming to the border so that Jesus will heal them. They had heard about him. They brought him all down. He then climbs up a mountainside to prepare to deliver this message, a very different kind of message. As we continue from where Greg left off, we must find it necessary to remind ourselves that Jesus is delivering a message of turning around.
away from our ideas of a happy life that doesn't bring completeness, joy, happiness, but brings anxiety, unsettledness, a constant striving for more and never bringing peace. He's rewriting what it meant to be happy. For him to be our all in all. Let not the world draw our eyes from him. He speaks to the huge multitude about those who are blessed or happy. Moving on through verses 6 through 9 of Matthew 5, we will be challenged and need to be challenged in our thinking. The world and Satan are trying to destroy us. Christ is setting us free. In fact, John says, if Christ sets you free, you shall be free for real, indeed, truly. So as we look into this, we've already seen that the blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. They will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So now we begin in verse 6. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Now, hunger and thirst are words you know. If you go very long throughout a day on a hot day working, what happens? Can't wait for that glass of water. Even me, I don't like water. When I'm working outside and it's been a hot day, I get in the house, I get a cold glass of water. Can't wait for a glass of water. Thirsty. I need it. Go several days and what happens? Well, then you want it even more. Can't stand it. Same with food. You know, you can live without a lot of things, but you can't live without eating and drinking, can you? You won't live very long that way. And this word for hunger is really that word that you're starving. You're famished. You are really hungry. I think of that commercial for the hungry man's meal. You know, big enough for a hungry man. The only time I ever saw anything really big enough was when Travis brought me my chocolate pie. That pie was like in a pie about that big. And he had it refrigerated, so I thought I needed to keep it cold, so I stuck it in the freezer. It was so rich, I couldn't cut it. I'd let it thaw some so I could cut through it. And eating a small piece of that was more than you needed. So I can't even imagine eating it all. But I wanted to be famished enough to eat it all. I just couldn't. Well, here he's talking about being so hungry that you can't stand it any longer. You need to eat. People then, if you remember, Christians were being persecuted. Any that were following the Lord were already being persecuted. Christ hadn't even died on the cross yet. And those who were following him were already being persecuted because he was being persecuted. People would travel with him, and he would get the disciples to gather whatever they could so he could multiply it and feed thousands of people at one time. So this statement is to try to get you to understand that at this moment in time, you are so hungry you can't stand it. And you need to eat. And this thirst is similar to be so thirsty for that you can't wait. So here, those who hunger or thirst are hungry and thirsting for righteousness. Now, how do you define righteousness? In the Old Testament, I've always liked the description between righteousness and unrighteousness. And it's a word, straight. Uses the word straight about God. God is righteous, straight, holy. So what do you think man is? If we're not straight, we're bent. And that's what the word is for man. Man's bent, God is straight. We can't live up to that standard. there's no way that I can be righteous enough to live up to being called righteous. There's no way. We're sinners. We do things wrong. We sin. We say things we shouldn't say. We do things we shouldn't do. We won't forgive. We can go on and on. We get mad because somebody else gets mad. We yell because we can't stand it if we don't. I mean, you can go on and on with the many things we do. Some of them far worse than the ones I'm naming. But here it says, these ones are hungering and thirsting. Blessed are those. Happy are those whose, that's what their hunger and thirst is for. Righteousness. So if I can't get that righteousness, where do I get it? In Psalm 42, there's a statement that goes along with this passage. Psalm 42, 1 and 2 says, as a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? Thirsting after, hungering for this relationship with God. The reason in the, as you get into the New Testament, you realize I cannot pay the debt. I'm a sinner, and I cannot afford the price. The wages of sin is death. If I stop there, and none of us hear the rest of the story, none of us will ever be righteous. But you heard the rest of the story. Many of you have. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he provides the way. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are none righteous except for the work of Christ. There would be none righteous, not even one. Because our righteousness comes through the work of Jesus Christ. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 gives the essence of the gospel. He says, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And then he appears to Cephas, the 12, and another 500, and it goes on and on. Pretty soon, thousands are being saved. Thousands are coming to Christ. Why? Because he paid the price. He shed the blood that washes away our sin. It's his righteousness that is placed in our behalf. So that when I stand before the presence of the most holy God, I claim Christ, my brother, my God, my Lord. He paid the price for me, and therefore I am righteous. Now, as you look at that, what you want to realize is what all the challenge is here in the Beatitudes is that he's pushing us to realize, if that's true, then what? How then should I live if it's true that I have the righteousness of Christ? If it's true that he died for my sin and has cleansed me? Now, you and I know that we probably don't go through a day without sinning. I doubt many of us would raise our hand to that statement. How many of you have ever gone through a day without sinning? You're allowed to raise your hand if you want to. I won't point you out even. But see, it's hard, isn't it? Because it's easy to make those mistakes. It's in our nature to not do it right. But Christ paid the price. And now he's saying, repent, turn around, be different. One of those things is to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Desire it, chase it, start walking like that. Because the end result, if I do, is that I will be filled. I'll be satisfied. I'll be complete. God will take care of all of it. And I will be complete. Happy is the man who has the righteousness of Christ. and is complete and satisfied in him. Now, does that mean life gets easy? Not necessarily. We still go through difficult things. We live in a sinful world. Things happen. Not all of them are pleasant. But he will never leave your side. He'll never quit on you. He will always be there as you hunger and thirst for that relationship with him. And he will fill you, satisfy you. You will be content in Jesus Christ. See, he starts reforming what it means to live. I grew up in a society where there's a Protestant work ethic and a desire to have what you don't have. Isn't that true? Everybody works hard. Why do you work so hard? So you can have things. So you can chase things down. In our country, you know, we can have a house. Now, if we all went over to Europe, you'd find most people don't have their own houses. They just live in rented apartments. A few of them might have a place they have. In Greece, they don't own the land. They own their building sometimes. I was just talking to Tony, and Tony says that they just take the sheep out, and they go wherever they go with the sheep because the government owns all the land. So they can take their sheep anywhere. You can't do that here. We have boundaries, so you can't do that, theoretically. You can't do that here. Sometimes sheep have a mind of their own, and they come over anyway. But the bottom line is, in our country, there's even been wars fought over sheep and cattle boundaries because we own our property. Not really ours, it's the Lord's. We get to be stewards for a while, but in the meantime, as we take care of it, he's meeting the requirements. He's taking care of us. He wants us to see life differently. It's not about things. The person who wins the race isn't the one with the most toys. You've heard that statement, haven't you? I'll never win that race even if we count toys. I know a lot of people have better toys than mine, so. But the bottom line is, that's not what life is about. And that will never fill you up with joy, no matter what you're going through. Only Christ can do that. And so here, he's reminding you of that. You hunger and thirst for righteousness, then reach out for it. Christ has provided it. And he will fill you. The next verse says, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. So, what is mercy? In Psalm 41, the first two verses, it's funny how these kind of fell together. Psalm 41, the first two verses says, blessed are those who have regard for the weak. The Lord delivers them in times of trouble. The Lord protects and preserves them. They are counted among the blessed in the land. He does not give them over to the desires of the foes. Notice, to the one who is merciful, for those who regard others who have need mercy, need grace, need us to act on their behalf, that one the Lord cares for. And that's what it's talking about here. Mercy is, in a sense, for us, an act that comes out of the graciousness of God. We understand how gracious he was to us. An act of mercy requires me to operate in a way I sometimes or often would not. I see a need. I see a relationship that needs work. I see someone in a hospital. What do you do? We have neighbors who don't know the Lord. What do you do? Have compassion. Show mercy. Offer to them what God has offered to you. Mercy is that act of kindness, sometimes it'd be what God, what Christ said. He was blessing somebody because he had cared for him. And they said, well, when did you care for me? Well, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I needed a drink, you gave me to drink. That's mercy. Seeing someone in need in reaching out. Sometimes that need is just sitting down with them, coming alongside, hearing what's going on, praying, sharing. But mercy is all of those things. Be merciful. Another kind of mercy is when someone wrongs you, you can show mercy by forgiving. You know that's counter our intuition. In us, we don't want to show them mercy. We want to be mad at them. We want sometimes to get even with them. We want them to pay for the damage. You can go on and on with the lists. I'm not going to talk to them anymore. What they did is inexcusable. But here, he says, blessed are the merciful. I know what God forgave me for. I can forgive that person who wronged me. That's mild compared to how I've sinned in my life. God humbles us and wants us to turn away from that old way of thinking and to show mercy to those who need mercy. To actively be aware of that. We'll come to communion later, and one of the things it says is if you have something that against one of your other believers, take care of it before you do communion. And we don't usually give time for that, but anybody wants time for that, we'll make sure you get it. But the bottom line is, we should prepare for that. Prepare ahead. Do I have things in the way? Do I have somebody I need to talk to? Then do it. Get it taken care of. Show mercy because he showed mercy. He paid the price so we could do that. For those who show mercy, they will be shown mercy. Now, it's an interesting set of words because to have compassion for by God's divine graces is the merciful. And they will be shown mercy available because of God's grace and paid for by Christ. On the one hand, we're doing it because we're reacting out of what he's done for us. On the other hand, he's doing it because he paid for it. He's showing mercy to you. He's merciful. James 2, in verse 13. It starts with, in verse 12, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Did you get that? Judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. God will show the merciful mercy. Each one of these is taking an opposite from us, something we would not have done, and saying, here then is how we should live. If I'm in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, here's how I should act. Here's what I should do. Mercy is amazing, and God gives that possibility to us through Jesus Christ. We must humble ourselves to do that. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up. Be what God wants you to be. The pure in heart. I want to look at Psalm 24. Psalm 24, 3 through 5 says, "Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god, they will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God, their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob." So here, even again, something Christ says draws from even the Old Testament, which he wrote, he can do that. He says, "Blessed are the pure in heart." Blessed are the pure in heart. Pure in heart has to do with the thoughts and intent of your heart and mind, your inner being, as Greeks would have responded, as though that's your inner being, your whole inner being. Is it pure? Are you pure of heart? I would like to say I'm pure of heart. But there are times you wouldn't think so in some of my actions. And again, this is what he's challenging us with. How do I become this? How do I not only know that I have it through Christ, but now live it? My life must change. Blessed are the pure in heart. We are pure, clean. The pure are clean, clear. Imagine you want a drink of water. I'll go out and I'll dip into my horse bucket and bring it to you. How many of you would drink that glass of water? Ed says he would. Probably he would. Okay. Of course, he knows it came from out of my well, too. But after the horse has had its nose in it and my dogs have drank out of it, I'm not sure I'd want to drink out of it. So, but you can also go, you could get it sometimes from out of a hole in the ground after it rains. You can get it. I got a big puddle out there that you could get it out of. I see the dogs drink out of it all the time, and when I see them drink, I go, ew, because it's all muddy. You want that glass of water? That muddy glass of water? One that you're not sure is clean? And that's really what this is talking about. Clean, clear, pure. It's reflecting that concept of water. Those who have a pure, clean, clear heart. Who has that heart? Who has a pure heart? How many here think they have a pure heart? Now keep in mind, how's your heart? I've got one. I got somebody. Raise those hands higher. Yes! Two of them got it right. What happened to the rest of you? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, you had your hand up too. Okay, we had a couple more. All kids, except for Caitlin. Caitlin had her hand up. I don't know whether she had it up on purpose or someone was pushing it up with her. But anyway, yeah. The bottom line is you have that pure heart because you're in a relationship with Jesus Christ. It isn't about just having the pure heart. But what comes out of that heart if you're paying attention to it? If the thoughts and intents of your heart are coming out of your relationship with God, then your life is moving in a different direction. That's what repent actually means. Okay, this is the way I used to walk, and then I came in contact with the Lord, and guess what? I don't walk that way anymore. I go the other way. I'm not that person anymore. I don't want to be that person anymore. I have a relationship with the Most High God. And He gives such great benefits. We've already heard that He'll fill the righteous. He'll satisfy their hunger and thirst. He'll show mercy to those who are merciful. And now, For those who are pure in heart, they will see God. That is an incredible statement, isn't it? They will see God. Now, it has two meanings. One of those meanings is, you'll see him because you're in a relationship with him now. You know him. You see him in the scriptures. You have descriptions of him. You know who he is. And in your imagination, sometimes you can even imagine being in his arms because you need to be there. I couldn't imagine what God is like without my imagination. He's so far beyond my normal head that I can't get it right. But when I'm done, I'm going to see him face to face. The world will try to obscure. Satan will try to take away the joy and the excitement and the vision of God. But one day, you're going to walk into heaven, right out of that deathbed, into the presence of God. And Ed's waiting. He's going to hug him. I don't think the Lord's going to run either. I think the Lord will easily hug him, and probably a whole bunch of us. The Lord loves us. And for those who know him and are striving to then follow through with their new pure heart to live a righteous life, one of the benefits is one day I leave this old sinful world and my sin nature behind, and I enter into glory and I am free. And I see him face to face. Here he is preaching, speaking on a mountainside, not to just a few people, because he was just to the border of Syria. Thousands of people have been healed. And even though the disciples are the ones sitting close to him, he picked a place on a mountain so everybody could hear him. And he's telling them these truths and reminding them how unique a relationship we have with Jesus Christ. We have with God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. See, if it depended on me, I'd never get there. This all depends on Jesus Christ. What I now have, I want the world to be able to see in the way that I walk, in the things that I do. I don't want the world to be able to sway me from being who God wants me to be. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. James 3:18. Should have kept my thumb in that page. James. James 3:18 says, first we'll start with 17. It says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. All those words, we've been talking about these verses, they would go right along with this passage just fine. Because that's what he's talking about. The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. Pure of heart. Peace-loving. Peacemakers. Who sow in peace. Considerate. Sometimes requires you to be the submissive one. To not end up in a fight. Over something that you don't need to fight about. Full of mercy. And good fruit. That means works that add up to value before the Lord. Impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. peacemakers avoid battles or disruption. They decline to participate in destroying a relationship. They go to great lengths to be at and make peace, to be or make peace. They go to great lengths. You'll do whatever it takes. Another passage. I don't think I wrote it down. Oh yeah, I did. Romans 12:8. It's a passage that I read many times, and I thought, this is a really difficult verse, Lord. Because asking me to do something doesn't come naturally to me. Tells us that we have certain gifts. 12:8 says, if it is giving, then give generously. 12:18. I knew that wasn't right. Starts at 17, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. So on the contrary, he says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So the bottom line is here, he says, as much as it is possible, if it can depend on you, if you can do it, be at peace with all men. I'm sure in our lifetime, all of us know situations in which we didn't create the problem and we tried to get away from it. And it followed us around. I've had some people like that. I was trying to get away and they're following me and yelling at me. I didn't want to have this discussion. Didn't want to end up in this battle. I was still trying to avoid it. He says, blessed are the peacemakers, the ones who try to keep peace and be at peace with everyone, to be okay. You know, I've been told I talk too much by some people. Not most of you, although all of you might agree with that statement. I've been told that by my own son. And I told my son, you know what? It is who God made me. I wasn't like this until I came to know the Lord. I was an introvert. I was quiet. I didn't even really care to be around people. I still, to this day, love a couple of weeks back in the deep gorge where nobody is. It's a wonderful experience. It's really good for getting closer to the Lord, too. But the bottom line is, now I talk a lot. But I think in most cases, people would say that what I say is okay. That I don't create fights. That I try to keep peace. Doesn't mean we never talk about difficult things. You have to. But you don't have to make them a fight. And here he's talking about going out of your way as much as is possible within you to be at peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. So what is the response to that? Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called, literally, to call you forth as children of God. You'll be called forth as his children. When you go to see him face to face, he'll call you by the name he gave you. And you'll be his child. You'll be called forth as his son. Jesus will see you and call you brother. Joint heirs with Christ, who is all God. And yet we get to be considered joint heirs. as we turn around and live the way God wants us to live, He gives blessings. You'll be satisfied. He'll show mercy. You'll see God. And you'll be called His child, His son and daughter. Those four verses pack a lot of stuff in there. Think about the changes He wants you to make to do that. And you can't do them without Him. You need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And the only way to do that is to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. To know that what He did personally for you. He knows your name. He says about the stars, He calls them all forth by their own name. I was really into astronomy. You know, I know some of the names. I know there's Alpha Centauri, and I know that there's about 1,300 of those because they can't come up with enough names, so they number them. So you got all these stars, planets, whatever you want to call them out there in space, and we can't name them all. But God says He calls them out by their own name. And He calls you as His child by your own name. You're His. It's an incredible blessing to know the Lord, but it should change our lives. Colossians 3, 1 and 2 says, "Since you have been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection," literally your mind, "that creates your emotions, on things above, not on things on the earth." Goes on to say, "For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory." But notice the change. Don't look at the things you used to look at. Don't buy into what the world tries to teach you. Look at the author and finisher of your faith, Jesus Christ, and grab hold. Because He's ready to take you for a ride. He'll take you right along with Him. He's ready to go. But you have to believe. You have to trust Him. And then you need to make a commitment to let Him be Lord of your life. We can be His children and not yet have crossed the line of saying, "Okay, I'm all yours." I remember Cliff was Cheryl's husband, and I don't know whether he still is in heaven or not, but anyway, he's there. And I remember him constantly telling me that he wouldn't go to Timbuktu. There's no way. I was always challenging him with just, "Let God work in you. Wherever God wants you to be, He'll get you ready and take you there." "I'm not going to Timbuktu. I don't care what God says." We have these long conversations, and finally, God worked in him and worked in him and worked in him. Of course, at the beginning, He called me a holy roller, and then later, He sat under my teaching, which was always a big surprise. God just was always working him. He was changing. But God convinced him to go to Cleveland on a missions trip. When he came back, he came to me and he said, "You know, I need to tell you two things. One, you're right. If God prepares you, He'll tell you when it's time. I knew it was my time. And He prepared me. I'm not saying I'll go to Timbuktu, but I went to Cleveland. And I cannot believe what God did with me. How God used me to minister to teenagers." Had an amazing testimony. Just waiting for the Lord to pick the time. God will do it. We just need to let Him be the Lord. We don't want to be in the driver's seat. I could show you what happens when I'm in my driver's seat. It's It's also not real good driving sometimes with riding with me sometimes anymore. I get distracted easier than I used to. But the bottom line is, God just wants you to turn, make him Lord, and let him be Lord of your life. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we're so grateful for your love. We're thankful for the blessings you give to us, for the things you do in our life. Most of all, we're just thankful to have heard the truth about Jesus Christ, your Son, and that you brought us into a relationship with him. Lord, there may be some today that haven't come to that place. They've thought about it. They know the truth. They've heard it. Lord, give them the courage to come and then realize how incredible it is in the arms of God. So we thank you for your word. We ask that you would help us to become servants, to let you take our life and affect the world for you, that we might become vessels for your use, Lord, in Christ's name. Going to sing this last song and have the deacons come up and prepare for communion. Vessels for the Master's Use. In the book, it's 802. I think I hit the right note. Fill to overflowing hearts, aglow and showing Christ to those who do not know him. Sanctified and wholly yielded to him only, vessels for the Master's use. Oh, make my life a blessing, Lord. May it stand thy testing, Lord. Filled to overflowing hearts, aglow and showing Christ to those who do not know him. Sanctified and wholly yielded to him only, vessels for the Master's use. Okay. All those things that you heard talk about our incredible relationship with the Lord. What he's done to pay the price, the offer he makes to make us his children, and to give us eternity where there is no sin, no sorrow, no death, no dying. One day it'll all change. When it does, it's going to be incredible. We will see him face to face. Until then, he wants us to remember. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting with verse 23, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" So as we take part in communion, if you know him, this is a rejoicing, remembrance, and excitement that I know Jesus Christ and what he did for me. For those who don't know him, it's a picture of everything he did. A reminder of the cost of paying for our sin and of making it possible for us to have a relationship with him. Let's pray. Gracious Father, as we partake today of the bread, we are reminded that your body was broken for us. That you did it quietly. You didn't yell, scream, or holler. You went as a lamb to the slaughter. And you took on yourself our sin so that you might pay the price, so that we, the price we could not pay, so that we would have an eternity with you. Help us as we partake today to be thankful and to remember what you have done for us. And we'll praise you in his name. Amen. So that night he talked to them, he broke the bread, and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord, we're grateful that not only were you put on that cross, but you shed your blood to cleanse us from our sin. You carried our sin to that cross. You paid the whole price for it. We are grateful. We can't even imagine the cost of all of that. And yet, you did it willingly to make us your sons and daughters. So as we partake today of the juice, remind us that it is your blood that takes away our sin. And that because of that, we can have a righteous relationship with you. We can stand in your presence and enjoy you. Thank you, Father, for doing this for us. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, and in his name. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Drink ye all of it." Let's stand and sing together, "Thank You, Lord." Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich and free.